Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Thanks for coming. Welcome to the Amic Learning Center. And if anyone's around tomorrow night, we have a Mishmar program from 8 to 10. Chavrusa learning with the Kolel, followed by Dvar Torah, Ms. Cholent. Come and bring your friends. After following that paid political announcement, we'll get started. Okay, I don't know if you got this sheet.
It's coming.
Those who have it, we're going to start with the parasha. It's always good to start with Torah Shebichsav before we go to Torah Shebal Peh. Ki yokum eid chamos v'ish lanos bosara. So we're talking about an eid chamos, that means a false witness. And he's attacking someone, lanos bosara. So we're talking not about eidus of Kiddush HaKodesh, which the eidim determined that they saw the new moon. We're talking about testimony against someone, accusing him of a criminal act, or perhaps at least of having to pay a certain penalty, or maybe he borrowed money, whatever it might be. So that's lanos bosara. The omdu shnei hanoshim asher lohem hariv lifnei Hashem. So we're talking about a bezdin here. Lifnei Hashem here means bezdin, right? Because Hashem is always short mashri shchin on a bezdin. And then v'darshu ashoftim heitev. This is a very important pasuk yudches. Because the Torah does not exactly specify how do we know that this aid is an aid chamos? How do we know that he's a false witness? And the Ramban is going to make a big deal about the fact that the way we know and determine that he's a false witness is because v'darshu hashoftim heitev. There's got to be a special investigation, a process of drisha. And the result of that process of drisha is that we determine that this aid, and the word aid here means two witnesses. We'll speak about one aid later on. It's a shem. V'hine aid sheker ha'aid sheker ina b'yachiv. Once again, the Torah is talking about someone who purges himself in an attack against somebody. And then the famous pasuk yutes v'asisem lo kasha zomam lasos li'yachiv. Okay, so this last pasuk, which describes the punishment for the eighth sorrow, is the word hazoma, kasha zoma. How would you translate the word hazoma? What do you say? Plotted, schemed, intended. All these words that I think are appropriate. So they attempted and plotted to cause Plony some sort of a loss, or as we said before, perhaps a criminal accusation, and they became Adam Zoman. So they're false witnesses. Now, in this parasha, we have two different dimensions. We have one dimension, the parasha of Vidarshu Ashoftim Hatim, which means the process by which we determine that the Adim are Adim Zomim. And number two, we have the pasuk of Asisem Lo, which is the Onesh, the punishment that's meted out to the Adim. And what is that punishment? Kasher Zomam Lasos Liochiv. Whatever he wanted to intend, it's kind of like a boomerang theory. Like, you know, if you throw a ball against the wall, it boomerangs back into you. So whatever they tried to do to the Nidon, please note that word Nidon, right, the one who's accused, because we're going to use that over and over again, they get punished with the same punishment. That's called Vasisim Lo Kasher Zomam. And the Torah says, Ubiyarta Rami Kirbecha, we're going to learn halachas from that in terms of publicizing this. The Ramban wants to know the following in his Pirush al Torah. How do we know that these Eidim are false witnesses? Take a look at the Ramban. He says, Lo Pireish HaKosuv, the Torah does not specify, Eich Yodei Ashu Eid Sheker. How do we determine that he's a false witness? And it's critical that we figure out how to determine he's a false witness because of the second part of the parasha, the second dimension of the parasha, namely what? The onesh of kasha zomam. So if we determine that the Edom through process X will be Edom zomim, we'll set them up as Edom zomim, now we can apply the punishment of what? Of kasha zomam. Ki biyos ha'inyin b'shnei Edom sh'me'idim al ha'davar afilu yavo me'a v'yakhishu osom lo yizbar sh'sheker inu. The Ramban asks a question. Why not apply the principle of Achrei Ravim Lahatos? I'll tell you how I know the Eidim are false witnesses. Because what determines whether they're telling the truth or falsifying their testimony? The majority. That's why I say Akrei Rav Lahatos. If you have three witnesses against two witnesses, then one could ostensibly argue, we want to think about this, please make a mental note of it, we'll come back to this, that we tip the scale in favor of the majority. That could be the answer. And the Ramban immediately rejects that. Why does the Ramban reject that possibility? It can't be that the aid is determined to be an aid sheker based on majority rule, because trei kamei adamim. The halacha does not count in edus numbers, voices. There is a sugya, by the way, make a mental note of it, in Perkei Isha Rab and Yevamos, about Mises Habal, where if you have what's called an aid puzzle, he's technically not qualified to testify, but we accept him on testimony about the death of the husband, in that case, there's something called Rov Kolos. We actually count voices, and we determine by majority, but in the case of a kat edim, a pair of edim, it doesn't matter how many members there are of the kat. In fact, if you ask me, is it advantageous or the opposite to have more members of a kat, what would be the answer? It's disadvantageous. What's the drawback of having more?
More advantageous, yeah.
Because of the halacha, we'll have the Mishnah later on in Daf Hey of Nimtza after the Mkarav Apostle. The more members you have of this group of Edim, the greater the statistical probability that you might undermine the entire kat. Because if you find one bad apple, it completely destroys the whole bunch. So, once again, let's go back to the drawing board. The Ramban rejects his first possible answer. Can it be that we determine that the aid sheker is such, he purges himself because we count numbers, because once we have a kat, is trei kameya, correct? Oh, now look at the Ramban's second possibility. He has a brilliant move. I mean, I kicked myself that I didn't think of this. Here's the answer. Why not give the following answer? Sheba harug baraglov. Beautiful phrase from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The harug, the so-called victim of the murder, shows up walking into Beis Din on 2 feet. What does that prove about the Eidim? But they certainly falsified the testimony, right? I remember somebody once came late to Rav Soloveitchik's shiur as he was taking the attendance. So he says, Rebbe, I'm here, mark me present. He says, oh, bar harug baraglav, I already crossed you out. I remember. So the answer is, says the Ramban, it can't be bar harug baraglav. Why not? Ki lo ye omer bazeh, the language of the Torah here in this context, vidarshu hashoftim heitev. We don't need Vidarshu Hashoftim Heitev. We don't need to investigate the Eidim and the Mazimim, as we'll see in a moment, in order to determine that the Eidim is a Sheker. The Harug is here in front of Bezlim. You tell me Yaakov killed Beryl. Here's Beryl. Shalom Aleichem. Alive and well. The answer is, says the Ramban, in that case, we absolutely know that the Eidim perjured themselves even without the process of Vidarshu Hashoftim Heitev. And since the Torah implements this Vidarshu Hashoftim Heitev, that's the precondition, the process through the culmination of which is to establish the Eidim as false witnesses, Vidarshu Hashoftim cannot be Bar Harug Barad. But the question I want to leave you with, and please think about this question, is what would be in the case of Bar Harug Barad? If the whole purpose of the process of Hazama is to determine the eight sorrow, and therefore the Torah says the punishment for falsifying your testimony is the asisen lo kashizoma halasos liyachiv, what should be the logical conclusion based on this Ramban? Anybody? Please don't be embarrassed. I mean, it's just a chabura, we're learning together. What do you say? We should certainly give them the punishment, for sure. Because what greater proof could there be that he's falsifying this, then Bahar Viragla. And if the Asisalo Kasher Zolam is the harsh punishment, maybe it's not harsh enough, but it's harsh, that is meted out to someone who purges himself in a court, the false testimony, then for sure Bahar Viragla. that question is going to be very relevant to the next part of the Ramban. The Ramban says the following. What's bedarsha shoftim heitev? Valkein ba hakabola. What does he mean by Kabbalah? We're not talking about the Zohar here. What does he mean by Kabbalah? The transmission of Torah, that's called Torah Shebal Peh. So you see here, the reason why we chose Masech Nemak is because the Chazal say very often that when there's an integration of Torah Shebaksav and Torah Shebal Peh together, is Chavivale. Right? We enjoy that beautiful. So the integration is right here in Masech Nemak. Because you read through the Parsha in Torah Shebaksav and you're left with a mavoi satum. You don't know the answer to the question, how did we determine that these edim are false witnesses? You need the Kabbalah. And then the Ramban adds another adjective. Now, once he's mentioning the Kabbalah, he's got to add another word. What's the next word in the Ramban? Hanemana, right? It's nemenes, it's reliable. Right? We rely on the Kabbalah. Upirsha. And Chazal, through this Kabbalah, interpreted ki azomet yek sheyomru v'halo b'yom ploni modo eisam. How could it be that you testified on that day that you were there to see the crime? You were with us elsewhere on that day. Vatam. Oh, now we're ready for the word Vatam. On this Vatam, Tutzot Velten. Worlds and worlds. On this one word Vatam. What does Ramban mean Vatam? Shmuel, what does the Ramban mean by Tam? This is always in the Ramban. All of this Pirush al Torah. What is it? What?
The correct answer. The real.
No, that's not the word. Tam in the Ramban it's a code word. It's
rationale.
Exactly. Rationale. Beautiful. Vatam. You see, there are two schools of thought in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim shy away from what we call Tamei HaMitzvos. And others not only are in favor of Tamei HaMitzvos, but they push for it. And they encourage us to come up with explanations and rationalizations for mitzvahs. With one proviso, you know, you always have to add, well, it's only speculative, you know, we can never be guaranteed. But Vatam, says the Ramban belongs to that school of Rishonim that pushes us to interpret the meaning and discover the meaning of the Torah and its laws. So what does it mean? The first pair of Adam said, we were at the corner of 9th Avenue and we saw the murder. And the second pair of Adam, no, you weren't at the corner of 9th Avenue, you were on a different side of town at the same time. Who do you believe? Says the Ramban, Mipnei Sheha Edus Hazu Hi Al Gufam Shel Adam Veheim Enom Ne'amonim Al Atzmam Lomar Lo Asinukach. Shari Yecholim Halalu Lomar Aleihem Shahargu Es HaNefesh O Shechilu Es HaShabbos. The punchline is all in this very long, complicated sentence. Anybody want to suggest a pshat?
Yes, they become the Balagin. They become the litigants.
So what, Rabbi Fuld, what does the Ramban do with Eidus? If I gave the Ramban a sledgehammer, what is he doing with Eidus? He's smashing it. Into what? Into two distinct categories. What are those two distinct categories? Take all of testimony and break it down into two distinct categories. What are they?
Eidus on the event and Eidus on the world.
Eidus al Maisa, the Eidus al Gufam Shaledim. So let's say two Edom come in and accuse another two Edom of violating the Shabbos. No, it's two against two, isn't it not? I mean, after all, they certainly say, we deny it, we did not violate the Shabbos. Am I right? Let's assume so. Even though Eno the Mason Max from Russia could be his hodor, it wouldn't be worth anything, I know. Daniel, I read your mind right there. But I would say the following, that the only reason to explain why we believe the second pair of Edom over the first pair of Edom. I mean, the classical case where two Edom accuse another two, and it could be one, it could be two, it could be five, of violating the Shabbos, is because the Edus is no longer on a Maisa. We're not talking about an action, we're talking about the status of the Ed. That's what the Ramban calls Gufam Shel Edom. Excellent, Rabbi Fuld. Gufam Shel Edom. So the Ramban now has a masterminded thesis, a breakthrough revolution as to why we believe the second pair of Eidim. It's not what you call Xeris HaKosov, says the Ramban. It's not something that defies human logic. But rather it has a logic. It has a rationale. Now, Rabosa, if you were to ask me the following question, again, I'm just guessing intuitively, walk down the streets of Manhattan and try to convince your average non-Jew of the rationale of the Parsha of Edom Zomer, what do you think is going to happen? It could be in Korea you'll have a better time, because there they study the Torah. I'm just kidding. But in Manhattan, you're going to have a rough time. But let me explain the following. What the Ramban is doing, he's not telling you what you would call intuitive logic. This is not something that you could take, you know, in Princeton University, they spend endless hours, you know, taking logic and converting it into mathematical symbols. I don't know if you can do that in this case. But there is a logic here. Do you follow what I'm saying? What kind of logic is it? What do you say? Exactly. It's the Torah logic. Meaning, within the Torah framework, it can be explained. Within the principles that operate in halacha, it makes sense. Are those principles themselves intuitively, universally, humanly logical? I don't think the Ramban is telling you that. What the Ramban is saying is that intrinsically, within the system of Torah, we can understand. If Shlomo HaMelech says that Parah Aduma Amarti Echkom Avirachokom Imeni, because it's Metayer Es Atmeim Umetami Satorim, that I understand defies and undermines and torpedoes the whole system of Halacha. Because either it's a Metayer or it's a Metami. It can't be both at the same time. But in this case, where we break down Eidus into two categories, says the Ramban, there's what? There's Eidus Al HaMaisa, Al Sipra Maisa, and there's Eidus Al Gufam Shal Eid. Now, I don't know if did anybody here bring a Rambam by any chance? I mean, I have one, but if you have a Rambam, let's open up to the Perek of Hilchus Eidim Zomim. That's Hilchus Eidus, which is in the last of the 14 books. Yeah, we're going to explain the Ramban as we go through the Rambam. Okay, so we're looking in Perek Yud Ches, and the Rambam says the following. In Halacha Aleph, the Rambam establishes the Halacha of Eidim Zomimim, who are punished Kasher Zomam, because they're Eid Sheker. And he goes into details about two Eidim that testified against someone that he's Chayv Skila. They, the two Eidim, will suffer Skila. Sreifa, they will suffer Sreifa. Malchus, they will get Malchus. Mammon is a little more complicated. That's the Din of Mishalshim. The Malchus of Sugyan Daf Gimel will get to Mishalshim. But look at Halacha Beis. Says the Rambam, Bamedvar Mamurim be Eidim Shehuzmu. Avol Shtei Kite Eidim Hamachisho Zuidzu. Ein Kan Eidus. The Ein Os Onshim Es Achas Mehen. The Rambam says that there are two categories. There's something called Hazoma, and then there's something called Hakhosha. And he hasn't yet told us what the difference is, other than the fact that in the case of Hakhosha, there is no Eidus, and neither one of the two pairs of Eidim are punished. And why? Says the Ramban, Lefi she'ein anu yodim mi hi hakata shakranit. We don't know who's telling the truth and who's lying. This is what we call hakasha trei trei. But now the question begs itself, and the Ramban doesn't shy away from it because he has to address this question if we're going to start tonight with Seth Namakis. Says the Rambam, well, I don't understand. You're telling me in the case of Azoma, we know that which pair of Eidim was telling the truth? The second pair. Which pair of Eidim were perjuring themselves? The first pair. In the case of Akhosh, you don't know, so you toss the whole thing out of court. Uma ben Akhosh l'Azoma. Tell me, please. What is Akhosh and what's Azoma? And this Rabosai is going to give us the key to understand the Ramban that we just did. Says the Rambam, Hakhosha. Be Eidus Atzma. Hakhosh is where the contradiction is on the testimony itself. And the Rambam goes into great detail. He says, Zotomer Chahoya Dovra Zeh, this cat, this particular group says this is what happened. Vizot in the second cat, Omer Lohoya, it didn't happen. Oh, Yavo, okay, this is another parenthetical insert of the Rambam, which would require a whole shiur, but it's not for now. The Rambam says, even if the second pair of Edim do not explicitly deny the thing happened, but implicitly. What's Hazama? Hazama, as opposed to Hakosh, is not the Edus Atzma, but the Edim Atzman. The Elu HaEdim Shezimum Einam Yodin Im Niyad Dovro Lonia. The second pair of Edim doesn't know. They don't know whether or not it happened or didn't happen. Did the murder take place? Did the theft take place? Did the loan take place? They don't know. Ketzad, the Rambam wants to work it out. This is a very important Rambam. The Lecha Mishnah has a whole discussion on this Rambam. Edim Shebo V'yomu Ra'inu Ze Shaharges Ze Osha Lava Mizeh Beyond Ploni Vakum Ploni. Right, every Edus has to have those two elements to it. This is part of the Drishos and the Chakiris. We investigate them, tell us the Makom and the Zman. Where did it happen? At what location and what time did it happen? The Achar Shei Idu V'Niftaku, after they finish their testimony about this murder or about this loan, and then Niftaku, what's Niftaku? Correct, Risha, they were investigated. Bo Shnayim Edim Acher V'Yomru. Okay, now keep in mind, I'm going to ask you as we read this, is this Hazomar Akhosha? V'Yomru, and they said, B'Yom Zeh V'Mokom Zeh Hayinu Imachem. We were with you at that time, at that place. What does that sound like? Hazomar, but it's... Don't fall into my trap here. He says, what?
He's not saying you were with us somewhere, he's saying we were with you at the same place. It seems
yeah. Like oh, maybe at the same place. Excellent, excellent, Shmuel, at the same place. And with the so-called Malva Velova or Rotzeth and Dirtzach, right? Kol Ayom, Velo Hayu Dvarim Me'olam. And it never happened. So here's where we have from Machlokas had interpreted the Rambam. One way of interpreting the Rambam is that we were with you at the set time and at the set place. The Lecha Mishnah doesn't interpret it that way. The Lecha Mishnah understands that what the Rambam is talking about is a case where you were with us and we were all together at that time and at that place somewhere else. Which again sounds like what? Hazama. But nevertheless, it's not Hazama. Why not? Because they add those words, Velo Hayu Dvar Me'olam. It never happened. This guy didn't kill him, and this fellow never borrowed money from him. Harezu Hakosha. Okay? So, Rabosa, I want you to make a note of this. We'll come right back to the Lecha Mishnah, but the Lecha Mishnah's pshat is that there's an ad mixture here of both Hazoma and Hakosha. On the one hand, they're denying that the whole story took place. Lo Hayu Dvarim Me'olam, there was no Ritzicha, there was no Alpha. But on the other hand, they're saying that you were with us elsewhere. That's according to the Lecha Mishnah's pshat.
So, they're passing both aspects of the Ed themselves and the good for the Ed.
Okay, so you have to figure out why that's only called Hakosha.
Right.
Why does that crush undermine that zone?
The Rambam says that he has a Aiden on the first time. He says he's been in the group.
Yeah.
But he doesn't say he's been in the second time. They don't have to go for any of the Kakira to take on face
value. Well, you're asking an excellent question. Why did the Rambam omit the Nivduku on the second time? I don't know. Excellent question. V'chein, says the Rambam, im amru lahem heich atem mi'idim kach v'zeh ha-horego ha-nerago ha-lo v'alamalvesh ha-yu imanu b'yom zeh b'ni ha-chesh. This is the classical case of Akrosha. How could you testify about this Ritzicha when the Rotzeach or the Nirtzach or the Malva the Lova were with us elsewhere in a different country? Ha-reizu edus mukcheshes. And who's telling the truth again? We don't know. So what do? We've got to throw it all out. Alright, let's just fast forward a little. Now we get to Hazama. Aval im amru lehem, the second pair of Eidim, say, Anu ein adum yodim. Look how the Rambam spells it out. We know nothing about the crime or the said halva. Shar exeb yom zeb yushalayim. All of a sudden he adds yushalayim in here. Okay, fine. Kimosh etem omrim, Oloha. Anu me'idim sha'atem. He drops the case of halva. Yeah, okay, that's another question. The Anu me'idim sha'atem atzmechem. You couldn't have been in Yerushalayim. You were this in Bavel. So again, it's attack on whom? On the gufam shel edim. Hare elu zomimim v'nerogim o mishalmim. Hoil, why? What makes it azama? Again, the Rambam says, we'll only know what azama is when we clear the path and we know it's no longer hakrasha. What makes it azama? Lo hishkichu al atzma shel edus klal. They know nothing about the itzumo shel edus. Nothing. They have to specify, we don't know. Imu emes o sheket. Fine. So now, Shmuel, I want to come back to the Ramban again. So we said the following. Let's just summarize. Rambam said, don't worry, we'll get to the mission. This is just an introduction. This is a blotchy, so we have to cover ground too. My hope is that we, if this gets off the ground, we can finish Masechet Makis. I don't know exactly when, but sometime in the whatever future. We'll just leave it at that. I better not say anything. I apologize up front because I never learned Masechet Makis, not with my father, not with Rav Soloveitchik. So I'm really starting on my own over here. But what I do know is the following. The Ramban submits the following, I don't know whether to call it a thesis or to call it a presentation, that there's a certain inherent logic in Hazoma. Hakrasha, we have to raise our hands. It's a teku. We don't know who won the game here. 2 against 2, 50 against 100, 1,000 against 2. It makes no difference. We don't know who's telling the truth and who's perjuring himself. That's just not Eidus at all. And that, says the Rambam, if we can add the Rambam to the Ramban, is when the second pair of Eidim deny the story. Lo hayu dvar mi'olam, it didn't happen. So we have here what's called a hakhasha, contradiction on the gufa shel edus. Did it happen or did it not? Every edus has a story to tell. Well, did that occur? Did that event happen? Or did it not? And that's the controversy between the two pairs of edus. In such a case, we throw them all out. That's called what? Hakhasha. What do we have next? Hazama. What's hazama? We know nothing, that's how the Rambam says, about the gufa shel edus, but we know something about the edus. We know that the Edom could not possibly have been there to witness the crime. What is your first name?
Sorry, Ben.
Ben, how you doing, Ben?
Hi. I thought that, with Hazama, does that mean that somewhat, a third party has to bring these two Edom to Beit Din? They don't know anything, they'd show up, they don't know why they're there.
Well, as far as I can tell you up front, Ben, unless you know something that I don't know, maybe you learned Marcus already and I don't know. This is my first time around. I can just say this. There are two possibilities. Either a third party summoned the second pair of Edim, or they came under their own initiative. Because keep in mind that what went on in courts, court procedures were public knowledge. They weren't behind closed doors. So anyone could come. In fact, we have at the beginning of Ksubis that they sent out a call in order to bring Edim in. Does anybody know? And so forth and so on. So here you have a testimony in a murder case. And maybe there's someone out there in the land who could come forward and be masim the Edim. In fact, it could be that the whole essence of testimony is based on the fact that the witnesses really anticipate the possibility, a real possibility of Hazama. What's that called? What's that called in the language of the Talmud? That the witnesses who gave, the first pair of witnesses who testified in a murder case, whatever it might be, have to be afraid lest another pair of Edim come in and be mazim them. Eidushata yochol azima. You must have Eidushata yochol azima. So the whole predicate, the whole premise upon which Eidus is founded is on the fact that it lends its vulnerable to Hazama. Fine. So now, what's Hazama? Hazama is begufam shel Edim. And the Ramban adds something else over here. He says it's no different than if the second pair of Edim will passel the first pair of Edim. That means they disqualify them by accusing them of a crime. A crime which makes them disqualified for testimony again. But they defend themselves and deny it. The answer is now they can't testify on themselves. See, as long as they're testifying on something that's external to themselves.
Because they're possible Edus.
Correct. That's a no-gave Edus. He's talking about himself that he can't do. He can testify about something external, extraneous. He can talk about the Malva, the Lova, the Rotzeach, the Nirtzach. But he can't talk about himself. He has no right to stand and defend himself. So therefore, we have 2 against 0. And we accept the second pair of Edus. Says the Rambam. And the Ramban is outspoken about it. That is the mechanics of Hazama. We accept the second pair of Edim because they are testifying on the goof from Shalit. Good. At this point, I would say, if I stopped right here, that Kuliabalo Pligi, that everybody agrees that it's logical. But take a look for a moment at the bottom of your page at a Gemara Bava Kama. So I'm throwing out a little Bekiyas over here, but this is Bekiyas because my father used to hack into my brain what Yal Kagam is. You remember Yal Kagam? The six cases that we passed in like Beit Shammah, like Abai against Rav. Of course, on my father's Smicha Bechina, which was almost 100 years ago, so that this is at the time when Dr. Revel was alive and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. So Rav Moshe decided to ask my father on the Smicha Bechina what Yal Kagam stands for. I don't know how many people in the audience can answer that. Okay, but you're not getting tested for Smicha.
When I was 10.
You knew when you were 10, okay. So here we have a Gemara in Bava Kama Itmar Eid Zomei Mabayi Omer Lamafreya Hu Nifsal Rava Omer Mikan Ulahaba Hu Nifsal. We'll just read the Gemara first, and we'll try. Abai Omer Lamafreya Hu Nifsal Hu Shaita the Asid Havile Rosh Vatorah Omer Altatius Rosh Elios Eid Rava Omer Mikan Ulahaba Hu Nifsal Eid Zomei Chidushu. If you don't mind underlining those words, Eid Zomei Chidushu Da Treyu Treydin Hu My Chazis De Tzayis Lahani Tzayis Lahani. Reminds you the Gemara in Sanhedrin, My Chazis Hilchach Eimach Aboil Mishas Chidusha V'Eilech. We have here a fundamental machlokas shina bai v'rova. We know based on the Torah v'hinei eid sheker heid that the first pair of eidim perjure themselves. What happens when eidim perjure themselves? What happens to themselves? Besides the punishment that Bezin is going to be there, what happens as an automatic repercussion of two eidim who testified falsely in a court of law? They become possible, correct? Now they become possibly eidus. But at what time do they become possibly eidus? From the time of their testimony, or from the time that the Hazama took place, when the second pair of Eidim came in, there may be a month's difference. You know, the beginning of Nisan, they gave the testimony. Beginning of Iyar, they were Huzam in Bezdin. So at what point, logically, when should they become possibly Eidus? L'mafreya hu nifsal, correct? Who says l'mafreya hu nifsal? Abai, that's good. Because this is one of Yal Kagam. This is the ayin of Yal Kagam. So the ayin means we're going to pass him like a bailam afreya hu nifsal. But let's take a moment's time to study Rava. We like Rava. Rava is all over Shas. The Gaon says you can't go six flat in Shas without Rava. Anybody know how old he was when he died? He was 40 years old. He's from Beis Eli. Abai lived to the ripe old age of 60. That's because he was also in Chesed, not just in Torah. Anyway, so we get back to Rava. So Rava says, name. Rava says, Eidzome mikanu lahabu nifsal, from the moment that the mazir, the second pair of Eidim, come into Bezdin, and they testify against the first pair of Eidim, imonu ayisem. Why? The answer is, because Eidzome is a chidush. V'eimachabola mishas chidush of v'eilev. Why is Eidzome a chidush? It's such a new halacha. And whenever you have a new halacha, you only apply it from the last possible moment in a han, because my chaz is the samchasahani, train inu. Why do you believe the second pair of eidim over the first? Does Rava accept the logic of the Ramban? Absolutely not. Now I want to ask you a question, but how do we paskin? We paskin like a bailam afreya hu nifsal, which seemed to be that we accept the principle of the logic of Eid Zomei, and we really logically understand within the halachic system why the first pair of Eidim are proven and established to be perjurers. And if that be the case, we go back to the moment of the perjury. When was that crime of false testimony committed? L'mafreya hu nifsal, and that's Abai. So the machlokas between Abai v'Rava then is whether or not, on our very basic question of tonight, whether or not there is an inherent logic in establishing that the first pair of Eidim, the Eidim Zomim, have falsified their testimony. Rava says there's no logic, no justification. Therefore, it's a chidush. If it's a chidush, ein lecha bo ela mishas chidush avielach. Abai says ein zomim l'mafreya hu nifsal. Apparently, Abai holds in the logic. Where is the logic? In the Ramban. Now, what does the Rambam hold? Let's go back to the Rambam. So we read through the Rambam in Perek Yud Ches Milcha Seitz Halacha Beis. Now let's look at Halacha Gimel.
Excuse me. Come to Rambam.
if it's a chiddush, and suddenly in this case,
the Gemara is another pshat in Rava too, but
the habor, there should be kosher leis again. So in this case of hazama, there should be possible.
No, what Rava is saying is that the Torah believes the second pair of eidim. But there's no logic there's no rationale to justify why the Torah does so. And the Torah says the second pair of eidim are telling the truth, the first pair of eidim are falsified. But at what point did they become puzzled, did they become disqualified? From the moment that the Hazama took place. And that's based on the principle called Ein Lecha Bo Ela Mishas Chidush of the Eidim. So then you hold on to this, because this is a massive issue, which I don't know if we'll get to tonight.
But. Yeah, that's a big implication, halacha. I mean, it's like, let's say the second Eidim comes 3 months later, and there are two other cases where they...
Exactly. What happens to all the adios, all the testimonies they gave in between time T1 and time T2? Time T1 is the time when they originally testified, time T2 is the time when that Hazama took place, and the second pair of Eidim came in. All those adios in the middle... And who knows how we relied on those things? You see, basically, according to Abaye, we really have a tremendously challenging logistical problem, because we don't know how long of a period of time it can be between the Avis originally and the Hazama. And what of all the testimonies that we accepted from those Avis? These guys are professional witnesses. No, I'm just kidding. But they give a lot of testimony. Oh, now what do you say? That's right, yeah. You're talking about Esau Kodesh. Take a look at Halacha Gimel. Look at Halacha Gimel. How do we read Halacha Gimel in the Rambam? V'zeh shehemina Torah Eidim Hachronim Al Ha'edim Harishonim Gzeres HaKosuvi. Now, in my Rambam, which is the Frankel edition of the Rambam, which I highly, highly recommend if you're ever buying Rambams, this is the end of the Halacha. No, it's based on the manuscript Rambams, which they researched 3 centuries of manuscript Rambams from the time of the Rambam until the first publication of the Rambam, some 300 years late. And they went through manuscript after manuscript from the British Museum and this museum and that museum. And in the manuscript Rambams, which is called the Kisvei Yad, this is the end of Halacha Gimel. Sof Pasuk. Or as we say in Hebrew, Nekuda Tayim. That's where the Nekuda Tayim are. V'zeh she'emina Torah Eidim Achronim Al Eidim Arishonim Gzeres HaKosavi. It's like the Rambam Hilchos Shofar. Why do we blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Gzeres HaKosavi. It's interesting, the Rambam, even with regard to Kibud Avraham in Hilchos Mamre, has Gzeres HaKosavi. I mean, sometimes Gzeres HaKosavi in the Rambam means it has absolutely no logic, and sometimes it means that the halacha goes beyond our logic. Meaning the halacha extends and demands things which aren't logical. Even though the general mitzvah, the general halacha, is logical, the Rambam still uses the term Zeres HaMelech, Zeres HaKosu. When the halacha exceeds beyond what you and I would say is intuitively logical. But here the Rambam says that the fact that we believe the second pair of Eidim over the first pair of Eidim is... seemingly rejecting the Ramban completely. And here, I want to make 2 comments. First of all, I emphasize that the manuscript Rambams put the end of the halacha here. Why? Because if you have a printed edition of the Rambam continues. And the Rambam says the following. He says, Afilu hayu ha'edim arishonim mea ubo shnayim v'izimu. The Rambam says, imagine the following scenario. The first pair of Eidim are 100. The second pair of Eidim are only 2. There's an overwhelming majority in favor of the first testimony. 100 people say that they were there, you know, in some big marketplace, a big kikar, and they witnessed the crime. Two little yutzels come in, but you were all with us. 100 people, you're with us on the other, you know, up in Tveria. It's highly unlikely. So it could be that the Rambam, when he mentions Gzeres HaKosuv, he's referring to this scenario, where Akrei Rambam Lahatos would tip the scale in favor of the first pair of Eidim, and therefore it's Gzeres HaKosuv to believe the second pair of Eidim. I don't believe that's true. Not only because of the Kisvei Yad, but also because of the fact that the Rambam should have applied this Gzeres HaKosuv way back at the beginning when he spoke about Akasha. Because in the case of Akhosha, where two Edom say, no, 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 Reuven didn't kill Shimon, it could be that the first pair of Edom had numbered 100, and the second numbered 2. If the Rambam feels that the halach of majority, and we should count heads, is so powerful and logically compelling that it makes it into Gzeiras HaKosuv, then the Rambam should have applied Gzeiras HaKosuv way back when he started the chapter with Hakfasha. I don't know if anybody has a comment on that, but that's what it seems to me. But on the other hand, if the Rambam should be taken straight, that it's Gzeiras HaKosuv that we believe the second pair of Edom above the first, even if it's trade, trade. My cousin's the Sam Kasahani, Sam Kasahani. Whose sheet does that reflect in the Gemara Bava Kama?
Rava,
who says, Mikan, Ulahaba Unifsal. But wait a minute. Don't we pass? Doesn't the Rambam himself pass in this week? That's earlier in Perk Yud Milfa say this. That Eid Zomem Lamafreya Unifsal. On both sides, mathematically, we could only derive one conclusion. And that is that the Rambam holds that both Abai and Rava agree that Eid Zomim is a Chiddush. The machlokas then between Abai and Rava is whether we apply the halach of Eilach HaBoelim Yishas Chiddush of Eilach. Whereas Rava says since it's a Chiddush, therefore Eilach HaBoelim Yishas Chiddush of Eilach, Abai is going to say no. Once the Torah gave me the Chiddush, I got accepted. Hook, line, and sinker, the whole package. We believe the second pair of Edom and we disqualify the first pair of Edom. If that be the case, then at what point did the first pair of Edom become possible? L'mafer, from the time that they gave the testimony. So again, if you have the Ramban's approach that Edom Zomim is logical, then it makes sense according to the Ramban and within the Ramban's frame of reference to say, Hagufa, this exactly is the Machlok Shin Abai V'Rava. Whereas Abai is applying the rule of logic. Rava rejects that logic. He says at the end of the day, I don't care whether the second pair of Edom are being made on Gufam or on Gufa Shalaitis, it doesn't matter one bit. It's always going to be Trey and Trey, and the Torah believes the first pair of Edom, and the Torah believes the second pair of Edom. What's the machine on Koshan on Zoma? That's Rava's approach. But we pass him like Abaye, and therefore the Ramban is going to give a logic to explain the rationale of Hazoma. The Rambam, on the other hand, would say the Kuli Alma lo pligi. There was never a machlok between Abai v'Rav. They both accepted the principle of Chidushu, meaning Zeres HaKosuvi. We don't know logically why to believe the second pair of Edom over the first pair of Edom. And they have an internal machlokus, which is a technical machlokus, has to be studied and analyzed as to whether or not Eilach HaBo Elam Chidusho V'Eilach. And now, Rabosai, let me take a few minutes of your time and ask if there's enough gemi. Very nice discussion. Okay, it's intellectually curious and certainly tempts us to think in different directions, whether the Torah believes the second pair of Edom because it makes sense to believe the second pair of Edom, or whether the Torah believes the second pair of Edom and we simply don't know why it's Gzeiras HaKosuv. Is there enough given? So you could say, within the Rambam's frame of reference, that's goof in the nafkamina of Abai v'Rava, whether it's only l'mafreya unifsal, umikan l'ahav over you. And I grant you that. That would be my first nafkamina, knee-jerk response. The difference is, should we apply the principle of eilach habo, elmi shas chidush of eilach, if it's a gzeres hakosim and there's no rationale, eilach habo. If, on the other hand, it's logical, the way the Ramban presented his Pirush al Torah, and by the way, the tour elaborates on this Ramban in Simon Lamed Chesef Hilchos Eidus, it's on your page if you have a chance. And I would say within that frame of reference, then that if indeed the way the Ramban has it is a logic, that's Abaye, and that's why Eid Zomem is l'mafreya hu nifsal, because we believe and we understand that he lied at the time of his testimony. But if on the other hand, the way the Rambam has it, they both, Abaye and Rav, agree that there's a Gzeiras HaKosuv element here. So this distinction that we made between Gufa, between Akhasha, which is on the Edus, and Hazama, which is on the Gufam Shel Edim, is there any nafkamina? Is there any difference? Let me turn back to this discussion here that we had in the Rambam and Halacha Beis. What happens in the case of a combination of both Akhasha and Hazama? You were with us at that time, but we know that Reuven didn't kill Shimon. In other words, what happens if the Mazimim, in addition to Hazoma, they add what? Hakhosh.
Hakhosh supersedes.
Oh, so the Rambam says Hakhosh supersedes, and we completely suspend the entire process of Hazama. Why? Because the Eidim, Kolam Mosif Goreya, the Eidim added something that they shouldn't have added, namely that we know that the Ritzicha never took place, we know that Dalva never took place. They should have said La Adam, we didn't know anything. But because they were Makhish the Eidim, therefore the Hakhosh undermines what? The Hazam. What sense does that make? If there's a logical reason, the way the Ramban sees it, and that's how the Ramban is passing like Abaye, that there is a rationale to explain why we believe the second pair of Eidim. Meaning that the second pair of Eidim are attacking Gufam Shel Eidim by saying Imono Ayisam. So what's Artmir? What do I care? If at the same time they were Makrish, why would the Hakhasha undermine the Hazama?
Because you couldn't know that. Could say
Mario
in another place and
it's
not
an
effect. It's just impossible.
Oh, he knows because he knows. I mean, how he knows? He's there. Maybe you were with us in a different place and the Rotech was with us.
The logic of Mario Eastman is you couldn't know about the case because you're with us. So how can I say I know about the case but you don't?
No, because we were all in the other side of Medina Israel together with the Rotech and the Nerzah. So on the one hand, I know that you weren't in Yerushalayim to have witnessed the crime, and not only that, I know that the crime couldn't have taken place because the Rotzeach was with us. Why does the fact that he adds, why does that torpedo the Hazama? Do you understand my question?
This is an opening to argue against them. If you're just talking about the witnesses, there's nothing to argue back. It's like, oh, well, there's nothing. The moment that he starts talking about the case, it's like, well, no, we all agree that we're all together. And now we're just arguing about location. And now we're just arguing about the murder. And they're even opening that they can argue about.
When you're talking about testimony about the events themselves, it's not necessarily an objective, like you might fact. It's a perception. And I may see the same event that you see, and we'll give a different story. So that's where there's a conflict, and that's on Kasha. And it doesn't matter where we were, where we weren't. I saw what I think is somebody shooting somebody with a gun, and you saw somebody shooting private practice at somebody else, and he got hit by a car, not by a bullet.
No, you're right that when it comes to Akosha, and you're dealing with the Gufa Diuvda, the facts on the ground, and what happened, and the Sipra Maisa, you're right, it becomes very subjective. You know, two different people see the same thing, and they see it different ways, and if somebody would come in here and murder somebody, or fake a murder, we would probably get 20 different versions of what exactly took place. But that doesn't really address my question. Because my question is the following. If the Ramban is correct, and the premise of Hazama, the underlining rationale, is that if I testify against you, you weren't there. How do I know you weren't there? Because you were with me elsewhere. Then I am now accusing you, j'accuse, of falsifying your testimony. And therefore, it's no different than turning and pointing a finger at you and accusing you of stealing. Meaning, it's not tray against tray. It's the second pair of Eidim against zero. Because the first pair of Eidim cannot defend themselves against an attack against the Eidim. Speak louder, Josh. Well, I'm saying, but why does the addition of Hakosha, so he adds a story that the Ritzicha never took place, why does that undermine, why does that torpedo the Hazama aspect of it?
Hakosha is allowed to argue against it.
Good, so we can argue from now. So Josh, we can argue from now till doomsday whether Reuben killed Shimon or didn't kill Shimon, but that's not relevant. Who's on trial now? Once there are two Eidim on that Mazibim, who's on trial? Rabosa, are you with me on this? This is very important. For example, what would be if the second pair of Eidim, we didn't get to this yet, but you can already figure it out, the second pair of Eidim testified against the first pair of Eidim, Imono Yisem, and the first pair of Eidim weren't there. That's called Shalom Bifnei Baldin. The Malhu was there, the Lovhu was there, I can't say the Horeg was there, but the Nerag wasn't there. Right? But what would you say about that? Do you know what the answer is? There's no Hazom. Hazom must take place where? Bifneihem. In the presence of the first two Eidim. Because basically they're on trial now. I would submit to you the following. Luthien is tight. Again, food for thought.
I mean, that they could, sorry, your case is that they have to be there together, the two cutting come together. There's the original Aden and the Zamin may come together in front of the same shop at the same time, the same courtroom.
I don't know that that's so. I mean, it could be they come together much later on. Yeah, no. The testimony of the Zomimim, the first pair of Edom, could have been in a certain place, in a certain Bezdin, at a certain time, and maybe a half a year later there was a second pair of Edom. But the first pair of Edom have to be present in the second court when the Hazama process is delivered.
So that they could defend themselves, or just so that they...
I don't know if they can defend themselves, that's a good question, but Pashtus, it's a separate halacha, that whenever you testify against someone, that person has to be there. I mean, I can give you various rationale for that. But I would like to throw out the following food for thought. Perhaps what the Rambam is saying, because keep in mind again that the Rambam passes like a bayi that ain't zomim l'mafreyahu nifson, at the same time he says it's gzeiras hakosuv. So how do we reconcile those two statements of the Rambam? The Rambam might be saying the following. It's true that there may, that l'mafreyahu nifsal means that there's a mechanics here by which we establish that the first pair of Aden purged themselves. We would not classify that as logical, right? But it works within a cause and effect relationship. So if the Torah says, believe the second pair of Edom, then I know that the first pair of Edom perjured themselves. And that is the sum total, or the bottom line, of this Gzeiras HaKosuv. So again, the Gzeiras HaKosuv reflects the process, but not the conclusion of that process. The bottom line conclusion is that the first pair of Edom perjured themselves. And that's why the Rambam embraces Abaye l'mafreyahu nifsa. But yet, at the same time, the Rambam says that the inner mechanics of that process is Gzeiras HaKosuv. What do I mean? The mechanics by which this operates and what conditions have to be fulfilled, that already belongs to Gzeiras HaKosuv. So again, if you ask me who testified falsely and who gave us the truth, the Rambam says we have a clear answer to that. But it's based on Gzeiras HaKosuv. And if it's based on Gzeiras HaKosuv, then the Rambam holds that the mechanics and the rules and regulations that operate do not have to be logical. Logically, if we would take the Ramban's frame of reference, then we understand very well why the second pair of Edom are believed, because the first pair of Edom are on trial. If you don't introduce the Gzeiras HaKosuv element to the Rambam, then for sure, the admixture of Hakhasha would not torpedo the Hazam. And I would submit to you that the Ramban would absolutely have to maintain that in the Rambam's case of a Hakhasha Hazama combination, it would qualify as Hazama. As we said before, because applying the rationale, the logic of believing the second pair of Edom, because the first pair of Edom are being attacked with Gufam, they're on trial, then for sure the admixture of Hakosha, the cherry on top of Hakosha, would not undermine Hazama. The Rambam, on the other hand, since he's operating within a framework of Gzeiras HaKosuv, despite the fact that Eitzoim L'mafreyahu Nifsal, because the natural outcome of the Gzeiras HaKosuv is that the Edom purge themselves, and therefore the apostle are disqualified from the time of their testimony. But says the Rambam, the mechanics and the rules that govern Hazama are not logical. For example, I'll throw out one example right here, and I don't know how the Ramban is going to deal with this. What happens, this is called Kasher Zoma v'lo Kasher Osam, if before the second pair of Edom came into Bezdin, and we said there could be a time lapse between the first pair and the second, they killed the Nidon. They put him to death. So that's called Kasher Zoma v'lo Kasher Osam. For those who don't know it, this is going to shock you. It's a good thing you're sitting down in a chair. Because the halacha is that the whole Hazama does not apply in such a case. And in the Ramban's second paragraph on the page that I gave you, the Ramban says that the reason why the Torah lets the Edom off the hook in this case, even though they're Edom's own, man. If you count down about five lines down from the beginning of that paragraph, Pesuk Yutes, Aval Imerag Ruven, Ruven is the accused, Nachshav will have to figure out, will have to believe Shahoya emes kolasher he do all rishonim ki hu bavono mes vilu hayatzadik lo yazveno Hashem biyado. The Ramban apply some sort of metaphysical system here, you know, with a belief in God in order to justify why kasher zoman velo kasher osof, the nidon was already put to death, then the first pair of edim are off the hook. And why? Because God wouldn't have stood by idly His divine providence and allowed an innocent person to be killed. But the Rambam is not operating with that. The Rambam is operating with Gzeiras HaKosuv. And if it's Gzeiras HaKosuv, I don't necessarily understand rationally the rules and regulations that govern Hazoma. Alright, Rabbi, so we're going to have to stop in a few minutes. I just want to read the first Mishnah with you, so nobody should accuse me of not... So we have, we'll just try to learn the Mishnah very quickly, and then I'll let you go. You may have it also on this page. I don't know. Did it come out on this page? All right. Keitzah. Well, that's an interesting way for the Mishnah to start. It reminds me of Me'emosai. The Me'emosai says, start with a question. Yeah. You know, you've got to lead a person to ask a question. The Mishnah wants to tell us that in a Torah study situation, that's how Talmud Torah, there's got to be a question that's asked. The only problem is the commission doesn't bother answering that question. That's a different problem. So what we're going to see is that the Mishnah, on the one hand, is asking in a positive sense, how do Eidim become Zomim? But the Mishnah, as you know, is going to offer the negative, that the Ketzar ain't Eidim Nasim Zomim. Me'idim Anubish Plonishu Ben Grusha O Ben Chalutza. Alright, let's raise a few questions that Belineda will try to pick up next time if you want to think about it over the next week. And that is, number one, Ben Chalutza, it turns out, is only Durabonon. How did that sneak into this Mishnah? Why isn't the Mishnah mentioning a Mamzer? Why are they testifying on somebody who's a Ben Grusha? How do they know he's a Ben Grusha? Rashi says something very strange. That we witnessed the Gerushin before this child was born. That doesn't make the child into a Ben Grusha. The Gerushin would have had to have taken place before what? Before the conception. Before Horah. The Rashi is very strange. The Tosus Yontif is very nervous about this. Also, as we said at the outset, it's very strange that that the Mishnah refers to Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, because the classical case of Psul Kahal is Mamzer, as I said before. Now, Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza is called a Chalal. That means he's completely Nischal Mikdusha's Kuna. His Kedusha, his sanctity of Kuna, is completely desecrated. Not only can't he do Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, but he's allowed to go into a Beis HaKvaros. So when you call someone a Chol, it's both a Kula and a Chumra. The strange thing is that he's now enjoined from accepting 24 Matnas Kahunas. He can't give him Truma anymore. Now that's a financial loss. And yet, as we'll soon see, the Eidim don't have to pay for that.
Is it a Chayav to give Matnas now?
A Chol should have to be... Yeah, well, even a Kohen has to give Matnas Kahunas. But the point is that now that he's taking such a financial dive here, you know, Truma for a Kohen is could be a significant sum, especially if he's a popular Kohen. I mean, again, you'd be pretty depressed if you found out that, you know, you've been giving Truma to a Kohen for 40 years and now you find out he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. He's a Kohen. Ain Omer, the Mishnah says, Yehosa Zen Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Tachtov. Why not apply the principle of Kasher Zomam? Again, this would only make sense ostensibly if the Eidim are themselves Kohanim, because if the Eidim are Yisraelim, so what do you mean? We're going to make them into Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. There's no din of a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. If anyone here is a Ben Grusha, I have no problem with you as long as you're not a Kohen. I mean, there's no embarrassment to be a Ben Grusha. There's no problem. There's no psul for Yisrael. It's only problem for Kohen. So you want to tell me that the Eidim don't become, in the boomerang theory, Kasher Zomim, they don't become Chalolim. I mean, you got to assume that they're Kohanim. So Rashi says, Ain Omrim, Im Huzmu Behem Kohanim. But we'll see that a whole school of Rishonim is not willing to say that the Mishnah is limited to the case of Eidim who are Kohanim. So I don't know what to then. Ella, Lokar Boim. So what's the default position when you can't fulfill Kasha Zomam? You don't let the Edom off the hook. You give him Malkus. How many Malkus do you give him? It says 40. Good. I was just testing you. Because that's how we know to stand in front of the Talmud Chacham. That's a Gemara here in the Sefer Malkus, actually. Because the Torah says Arboim Yalkenah, but the Torah Shemal Peh is even stronger than Torah Shemal Sam. Me'idim on a bishponu shuchayv golus, meaning he was rotzeh the shogeg, is ain omrim yiglas et taktov. We don't send the Edom into golus through the law of Kasha Zomam. Ella, once again, loke armon. So, believe Ned, the next time we'll take up some of these questions. We'll go through the sugyan side. We'll try. We can't do all the tosin on the page, but we'll choose two or three. I suppose the first one we have to do, because that's a pretty fundamental one. Okay, both say thank you very much, and again,
why
does goals get bounced?
Yeah, because I understand that
that goals has two dimensions. Number one, goals is a punishment, but number two, goals is also a protection against what's called a goal adar. In the case of David Zomerman, the fundamental purpose of goals is meaningless. It doesn't apply to them. There's no goal adar that can kill them because the Nidon is alive. If he's dead already, then there's no kasha zomer. And therefore, they can't go into goals, but we have to find some other punishment. So we do
it.
I don't think it should make a difference. Do you think it should make a difference?
I don't think so.
And I have here in the Frankel round, we have Edim instead of Edut.
Both times in your edit, you said Edim.
Okay? If I said it, then it's here. I didn't do it. What Allah is it, Beis?
No, Gimel.
Gimel. Allah Gimel, Zeshem in the Torah, Edim Achronim, Al Edim Arishonim.
Right, so I've got Edut Achronim.
Right. I like this a little better, but I'm prejudiced always in favor of Frank. It's hard for me to look at a printed Rambam, I'm telling you.
So these printed editions around, so where are these? Like sitting on the Frank Hall's
stuff, they subtract it.
But where did they get it? Like the Rambam.
I'm saying, so, you know, the printing. Let's say printing started 5 centuries ago, a little bit more. Right? So every printer started, you know, adding a little.
So
that's why we want to go back to the Kisvei Yad, because they're more reliable as to what the Rambam.
So we
don't have the original Rambam of Mishneh Torah. We have his Pirush HaMishnah. We have the original. So this, you know, Frankel didn't have
my uncle's Osikin Sazali. He's a big expert.
The only reason we need a publication, a modern publication of the Pirush HaMishnayos, which is Kapach's translation, is because we can't even figure out the old translation. It's gibberish in 90%. That's why if anyone comes to your class with the Pirush HaMishnayos of the old school, tell them to stay home. Tell them to bring the Kapach.
You got that?
You know what I'm saying? No, I mean, it's ridiculous. Once you learn Kapach's translation, he knew the Rambam's Arabic better than the Rambam. I mean, plus he was an expert in modern Hebrew, so you get
the best. The Morris on,
but in any event, this is what you want to get. Okay, then. And so next time we'll try to make a little push into the Gemara. The sugya, a couple of rashi's.
Great to be back.
When I was in like fifth grade, my grandfather said to me, "You can tell me." And we were learning it. Somehow it was in a rashi, I think it spelled it out. I know what he gave me, $100. And I was like,
wow,
I knew it.
That's a lot of money. Though.
I can spell them all. I only remember the first three now, but
right.
I do it.
If you want to see Al-Kagam, it's in a few places, but it's in the famous sugya of Yeshalom Ibad. It's in the Chafal Fumin Bidis.
So,
this is my brother Ron.
Oh, what's your first name?
Ron
Mendel.
Where are you from?
Yeah.
Shall I know?